Romans chapter 15. Thank you so much. There is a word in the Bible that says bring a cup of cool water. So we bless. I've been struggling with a little bit of something. You in the front row, I tend to spit, so guard your... I'll move this way just a little bit for your sake. Should be safe. We've been looking at a series called Who Are You in Christ? And in this series, we're trying to establish our identity. So we ask the question, who are you? Do you know who you are? And today, we want to look at some of those reasons. The reasons we ask this question is to establish our identity. Okay? It's also to know and live the truth. You don't want to be living lies all of your life. And also to be set free. Because when we lived in bondage, we are not being all that God wants us to be. We know that as we try to live that new identity that God has given us in Christ, that many times Satan's number one purpose is to oppose us. And one way that he will do that is with lies. Another reason that we have difficulty living our new identity is because what the Bible says is Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and praying, and he comes back and sees his disciples and they are falling asleep. He says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That is true. Our flesh is weak. And many times we give in and we do things that we do not want to do, even though we know that our identity is Christ and we should be doing something else. We want to train our flesh that is weak, and so many times we wake up, we read the Word of God, we pray, we ask the Spirit to fill us more. Another way to train our flesh is we make declarations. Let's go ahead and say these together. As the church, everyone, I, Kurt Tallman, am in Christ. If I know the truth of Jesus, the truth sets me free. In Christ, I, all right, am a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Yet to all who receive Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. I, Kurt Tallman, am a child of God. Amen. Last week we did a little bit, we'll do a little bit of review from last week in Genesis. We saw that one of the ways that Satan would attack us and attack the truth is to tell us a lie. Okay? First thing he does is put the truth into question. And we remember that Satan said, did God really say? Saying, is that the truth? Then the lie is planted. You will not surely die, Satan says. Then the lie grows some more. Pretty soon the lie bears a disobedience and a sin, which we know happened to Adam and Eve. And then sin bears death. We review a little bit thinking about what lies have you been believing. And when Satan gives us a lie, it causes us to question our very identity. Causes us to question who we are in Christ. And last week we looked at that we are children of God. When you wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, you think to yourself, I am a child of God. And I am provided for and I am taken care of. Therefore, I am secure. Or are you thinking more that no one loves me? What is the purpose for me today? Are you living your identity and the truth, or are you believing lies? Last week we also talked about one of the purposes of a parent. I think one of the main purposes, and we know that a purpose of a parent, my kids have been sick this week, one of the things I've been doing for them and my wife is taking care of their needs. Taking care of their needs. Do you believe and trust that God, your Father, takes care of your needs? Takes care of your physical needs? He takes care of your need to be loved? Many times we ask the question, am I wanted? Jesus says to you, yes, you are wanted. The need to be secure and safe. We ask the question, am I safe? Jesus says, yes, I'm here. I am here with you. And we have the need to be significant and of worth. Jesus definitely says you have a purpose. Today, I'd like us to look at one of the great needs, and that's the need to be accepted. The need to be accepted. From the book I was reading, Victory Over the Darkness, by Neil Anderson, I'd like to read you an excerpt from there. Someone who he met, and he records the story. He says, several years ago, a 17-year-old girl drove a great distance to talk with me. I've never met a girl who had so much going for her. She was a cover girl, pretty with wonderful figure. She was immaculately dressed. She had completed 12 years of school in 11 years, graduating with a grade point average of almost 4.0. As a talented musician, she received a full ride music scholarship to a Christian university, and she drove a brand new sports car her parents gave her for graduation. I was amazed that one person could have so much. She talked with me a half an hour, and I realized that what I saw on the outside wasn't matching what I was beginning to see on the inside. Mary, I said finally, have you ever cried yourself to sleep at night because you felt inadequate and wished you were somebody else? She began to cry. How did you know? Truthfully, Mary, I answered, I've learned that people who appear to have it all together on the outside are often far from being together on the inside. This is Mary. Probably not her real name. But our name could be put in there for many of us. That we're not feeling that what we've done or accomplished or how we look or who we are is enough. We're not feeling accepted, and so we strive for more. And we cry. And we cry. We seek to gain acceptance and approval, but we always seem to come up short. Whatever pinnacle of self-identity that we're trying to achieve or we have achieved, eventually it crumbles under the pressure of rejection or even our own self-condemnation. Our self-standard, the way we judge ourselves, is not enough. We labor under the false assumption that if we live perfectly, then we will be accepted. But we know that there was one who lived perfectly and was completely rejected. We have a great need and a need to be accepted. I'd like to look today at Romans 15:7. Romans 15:7. Let's read this together as the body of Christ. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. One more time. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Three parts to this. Pretty simple. Three parts, and they're pretty simple. First is, in Christ, I'm accepted. Says it very clearly there in the verse, Christ accepted you. With all of our sins, with all of our hang-ups, with all of our imperfections, I am accepted. That in Christ, the great need of acceptance has been met. And the truth is, and do we believe that truth, that Christ accepted me. The second part to that is that in Christ, I accept others. When we think about accepting someone, we think, oh man, that person was probably not accepted because they have a lot of problems. They're not the way we want them to be. They have a lot of troubles. And this verse was very much written to those type of people. Who were these verses written to? They were written to Christians. People like you and me. People with troubles, problems. They don't have it all together, and that's why we come to Jesus. That's why the whole world needs to come to Jesus. Before these verses, Paul writes these things: accept him whose faith is weak. Yes, writing to Christians. Without passing judgment on disputable matters. Kind of squabbling about disputable matters. Romans 14:13 says, therefore let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put a stumbling block or an obstacle in your brother's way. Paul here in the second half of Romans is writing about our identity and our actions, because our identity determines how we act. Who you believe you are and who you are as your identity is going to affect how you act. We see Paul in his epistles throughout, every one of them saying the same thing. In the first half, he says, this is who you are in Christ. This is who you are, this is who you are. In Romans, we get to chapter 12, and then we see the switch over. And now, because of this is who you are, this is what you should do. And this is how you should act. Obviously, Paul thought that identity in Christ was pretty important. Do you? Who you are in Christ, does it compose your very core and then your actions from it? Verse is very simple. I am accepted in Christ. It's our identity. Now I accept others. Accept other Christians. This is my action. I would say, though, myself and us, many times we are still a little bit confused. I would say that we are not really truly living our true identity. We're not living the true truths, and a lot of times we're believing the lies of the world of how we live as accepted or not accepted. And Satan, over and over again, invades us through media, through our friends, from those in the world, of what true acceptance is. We're going to look at some of those. First of all, we know, very important, when we walk out that door in the morning and go to school or work, the world has trained us, we are accepted or not accepted because of how we look. Is that the truth of God? Is that what God says to us? You are accepted because of how you look. Man, I gotta say, if that's the truth, man, most of us would all be in trouble. Me included. Especially if God sees me in the morning. No, this is not the truth. Because of how beautiful or handsome I am, this is not the truth of truly how we are accepted or how we accept others. How athletic we are. A lot of times we get this one. How well we play soccer. How well we play football, basketball, badminton, ping pong. This is one thing that we get accepted. This guy, he's accepted. He caught the ball. If he would have dropped it, oh, the crowd would have went, oh. All of a sudden, we weigh him in the balance. Is he accepted? The world says to us a lot of times with this lie, because what we wear, I'm not saying that we should take this lightly, and the fact that of how we present ourselves to others shows respect and honor. But it's not that we are accepted by others by what we wear, whether it's Nike, Ralph Lauren, Or we got the bag going through the mall. Look what clothes I wear. It'd be better just to buy the bag because it's cheaper and carry the bag. Right? They don't need to know what's inside. You just keep it kind of shut. But because of what we wear, we get accepted. What we drive. Okay? What kind of car we drive is another one. Is it the Beamer, BMW? Is it the Mercedes? Is it the Audi? What is it? What are we driving? I should have parked my minivan right out there because that's what I drive. I got a nice minivan. I returned home for the summer. I saw one of my high school friends. I saw he was in my grade. I saw one of my undergraduate friends. We were in the parking lot. And the under school guy, he went to go get his minivan, and the guy in my grade says, "Oh, you're driving the minivan? I can't believe you started driving the minivan. I got a family, I'll never get a minivan." This guy's identity was in whether you drove a minivan or not. He had a nice truck. But a lot of times that's where identity gets placed. Is that what we want to live by? Is that the truth of the world or the truth of God? How intelligent I am makes me accepted. I've seen people corner other kids and then they quiz them. Do you know that? If they don't know it, all of a sudden they're rejected or set apart. Oh, you didn't know that. Now I set myself above you. I know more than you do. Is that how we're accepted? Is that the truth of God? Is this how we accept one another? It's interesting that I found in the new world that we live in, a lot of times we are accepted by our abnormalities. Things that are very different. How different can I be than the rest of the group? I think the goth movement is very much where this came from. The idea of this full dark dress, many body piercings, talk of death on a regular basis. I am very abnormal, but now I am accepted by others who are fully abnormal. Sounds very strange, but this is the concept and how it works. Is this the truth of God? Is this our identity and where it comes from? Is this how we should accept others? Rebellion. I am accepted because of my rebellion. I'm my own dog. Hey man, I'll do what I want, when I want, where I want. Huh? Yeah. They rebel. But we know that from psychology that rebellion is a form of doing what? Saying, I want to be seen. I want to be noticed. I want to be loved and accepted. Why do people join gangs? Because we want to rebel. Because they want to be accepted. That's why they join a gang. Rebellion is just a part of that gang that gets them their need that they desire to be accepted. Invaded in the church is what we've done. Because of what I've done or my accomplishments, the rewards that I've gained, now I am accepted. Is this the truth of God? That we are accepted by God on our accomplishments of what we've done? Now, we don't want to go wrong in the fact that we do want to do things for God, but it's a result of our identity as being accepted by Him. And now we say, praise the Lord, I want to serve you. I want to love you, God, and I want to serve and love others. That's the truth. That's where our identity needs to be. A lot of times we are accepted also, the world says, by who we hang out with. And who we are with. At least when I was young in high school, it was the in group, the athletic group. I tried to get into these groups. Unfortunately, my mom and dad moved. I went to a new school, and then I couldn't get into the new groups. A lot of times we look at that and say, man, what happened? God was protecting me, I believe. I never got into a group. I just had to follow Jesus. Actually, this last one is a bit true. Who you hang out with. Who you live with. Who you know. Because it's about knowing Jesus. These are the ways that I believe Satan puts lies in our mind. He puts the lies and the non-truth of the world in our heart. And so we think that we are accepted in these ways. But Jesus says we are accepted very much in different ways. There was a story once that I heard about a politician who was well known around the world. And he was going on an overseas trip to do some negotiations and seminars with other countries. And his brother, who was not well known, but was his brother, was asking if he could go along, that he could gain some experience, so hopefully to gain in his own political benefit. So the politician, who was very famous, said, okay, you come along with me. The first night in a country, they went to a seminar, and as they were going in the door, the security, because there was many high officials, stopped his brother and said, hey, who are you? The high official turned around and said, hey, he's with me. And they walked in together. The next night, they went to some negotiations, and the brother was able to come. And as they walked in the door, the security guards let the famous man in. The guy behind him said, hey, wait a minute, who are you? The famous guy turned around and said, he's with me. And they walked in together. The last night, a dinner occurred in the same way. Who are you? He says, he's with me. And he walked in. In our acceptance, this is the same way it is with Christ. When we get to heaven one day, it's not about all the accomplishments that we've done, or the car that we're driving, or how we look, or the athletic performance we put on. It's that we are with Christ. Christ says, he's with me. Well, what has he done? Look how he looks. Okay, he's with me. In our acceptance, this is where it's at. In our burst, I'm accepted, or why I accept others, is because of what we know, that Christ accepted us. All because of Jesus. All because of what he's done. In ourself, there's nothing to make us fully, fully acceptable. The Bible's very clear in Romans 3, 10 through 12. Paul states, there is no one righteous, not even one. No one who seeks God. All have turned away. There is no one who does good, not even one. I did a little bit of good, but not fully good. Not a little bit of righteous, but not fully righteous. Someone can always pick something out and say, look, you screwed up. We would think that if we are sinful, if we have these problems, if we are so self-centered, that the opposite would be in the way that God looks at us. That instead of saying, you are accepted, he would say, rejected, like an assembly line with people coming on by. Each getting a rejection stamp put on their heart. But the opposite is true. in an amazing grace, in an amazing love, Jesus comes and accepts us because of what He did. And He sought us out. And He took our sins upon Himself and He brought us before the living God. And 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ died for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous." The righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. And when we stand before God, He sees Christ. Christ stands before us, we behind Him. And God sees the Son of God, the Lamb without blemish, so that now He's with me. And we are accepted. Said there's three parts to this. The first part, in Christ, I'm accepted, our identity. Second part, because I'm in Christ and I'm accepted, I accept one another. And the third part, it's very simple. This brings praise to God. You know, a lot of times we end up moving or we going somewhere else. I see Beatrice here. I don't know if Ethan's here. Where? Oh, there he is. Okay. I'm looking right by. But he's going to a new school now. I mean, he goes into that school, and a lot of us have had this experience. He's thinking to himself, am I going to be accepted? Is it what I'm wearing that I'll be accepted? Is it these great athletic achievements, and then I'll be accepted? It's how intelligent I am, then I'll be accepted. I hope that he and all of us, in our church that we go to, in the school that we go to, with our family that it may be a struggle with, that we can say that it is because of Christ that I accept you. And I hope that you would accept me. It brings praise to God when we live our identity in Christ as accepted. It brings praise to God when we accept one another. What does not bring praise to God? It would be the opposite of this. It would be when we do not accept one another. As Christians, as believers in Christ. But even more than this, more than just not accepting one another, I think the great tragedy would be when we do not live our identity. When we do not live our identity as accepted children of God. Because when we know that we are accepted as children of God, then our natural outflow will be to accept one another. The fact is that if our identity is not in Christ as accepted, we will act out of fear. Fear of what? The opposite of acceptance is rejection. We will naturally, if we do not establish our identity accepted in Christ, we will act out of the fear of rejection. Neil Anderson, in his book of Who I Am in Christ, says rejection is one of the most painful experiences known to humanity. He's right. It's very painful. And so we fear it. And we run from it. We've all experienced the example of being on the playground. Line up. Choose. Chosen. Good. Not chosen. Rejection. We've experienced, some of us, the letter that's marked no when we've sent it to the girl and said, "Do you like me?" We've experienced that company letter that comes and the first words are, "We regret to inform you." There's only like 2 or 3% of the people in the world that can look at that letter and say, "Yeah, I'm good." The rest of us are like, "Oh, rejected." Unfortunately, when our identity is not in Christ as an accepted child, we will act out of the fear of rejection. And we will act in strange and incorrect ways. Especially in the way that we accept or reject one another. How we treat one another. If we have been wounded by rejection before, more than likely we will protect ourselves. I'd like to look at some of these different ways. I've used animal examples. The first is the paralyzed possum state. That's this guy here. When a possum is in danger, what does he do? He plays dead. He curls up, goes to sleep. "I'm not doing anything, man. You can't get me." You ever see humans do the same thing? They go into withdrawal. They step back from the whole action. They cower. They hide. Have you met someone like this? The fact is they've been rejected before. They know the game. And so they play possum. Better not to get into any relationship. Better not to be rejected again. If I don't talk to them, if I don't interact with them, I can't be rejected. Maybe it's subconsciously that's happening, but it's happening. The other thing is, if our identity is not fully in the acceptance as Christ's child, we will act in, a lot of times, another state, the cornered dog state. When a dog is cornered and in danger, what will they do? They will fight. That look like that? They will fight. They will get on the defensive. And they will fight their way out of the corner. The fact is, people who have been wounded by rejection, when they feel rejection coming towards them, they will begin to fight, become defensive. And it causes us then not to live our true identity in the way that we accept others. I've heard a very good statement said that people in the church who are wounded wound others. That's why we need to have our identity fully in Christ, to be set free, to be healed, then to give life and that truth and identity to others. I love Romans 8, 15 through 16, for it says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, of daughtership. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Spirit testifies with my spirit that we are children of God." Brothers and sisters, can I call you children of God? Those who are accepted by the utmost, highest God of the universe. Do you understand who you are? Do you understand your identity? And are you living it? Are you waking up in the morning and declaring it out loud? And therefore establishing the actions of the day. How you will treat others. Not as a possum. Not as a cornered dog. But as a loved child of God that is accepted in every way. My true identity in Christ, I, put your name in there, am accepted. Read these in your heart right now. Not out loud, just in your heart. In Christ, I, put your name in there. I'm a child of God. In Christ, I am a new creation. Cliff, do you think you can hit the piano a little bit? Are you ready, or you want Dan to hobble up here for the guitar? Or you can play the guitar. If you have a piece of paper, if you have those outlines, I don't know if the bulletins got passed out, I'd like you to write these down. Put them in your Bible. Put them in your back pocket, somewhere to keep these. I'd like us just to take some time right now to allow God's Spirit to minister to our spirit, to declare over us His truth, that we would begin to live as those who are free, begin to live as those who are under no longer the bondage of lies, but the truth of God. Jesus, we declare today that Satan no longer has power over us. That we break the lies of the past, that we are not accepted. We break the lies of the past, that we are accepted by what we wear, what we've done, how athletic we are, by who we've hung out with. And we declare our new life, that for each of us who have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that He has broken the bondages of the past. And that He now declares over His children the truths of today. That we are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. That if you've received Jesus, if you believed in His name, that you are given the right to be called children of God. That in Christ you are accepted. God, if there's anyone here today that has not received you, I pray, God, that they would come to declare you as their Lord and their Savior. That they would not walk another day without knowing the joy, the love, the life, the salvation, the freedom of Jesus Christ. And God, as the church of Christ, God, as we know that we are accepted, let us extend a hand and accept those who are sitting beside us. We love you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.